There may be no border in the Western world as closely observed as the United States border with Mexico. It's been a central focus of our politics off and on for many years, definitely on now. A filmmaker with roots in our region focused his attention and his cameras on the border for a documentary now approaching completion. Adam Markle has roots in Ashland, a degree from the University of Oregon, and some credits in the movie business. He and a partner, Jessica Solis, are making the documentary 34 Seconds to focus on people shot at the border by U.S. agents. Adam Markle, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello, Jeff. How are you doing?
Thanks. I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. So you won an Emmy Award for your work on Deadliest Catch, for an example, so you're well established in the business. What sparked this particular project?
Well, we went down to Mexico about 4 years ago to do a story on an NGO down there called the Green Valley Samaritans, which actually has roots in Ashland, and they do stuff like they look for bodies in the desert, look for migrants that are lost. They also assist people in Mexico that have been deported or are planning on crossing over into Mexico. They actually tell them it's a dangerous journey, please don't do that. And while we were down there, we learned of the story of Jose Antonio Rodriguez, who was shot in Nogales, a few hundred yards from the Green Valley Samaritans headquarters. So our film kind of shifted once we were down there and learned about that story.
And that was back in 2012, and he was 16 years old, Jose Antonio Rodriguez.
He was a teenager, and he was shot through the border wall fence from the Arizona side as he was in Mexico.
And what do the accounts of the story tell us about what happened there and why if a border agent would shoot to the Mexican side?
Originally, the incident, there were two people had crossed over into America from Mexico with some backpacks, with, I believe it was drugs, there was some narco activity. They dropped the backpacks and they crossed back into Mexico, which is somewhat typical, which there is some drug activity there. While that was happening, Arizona police and Border Patrol responded, and during this, some rocks started being thrown towards the agents over the fence, and while this was all happening, Jose was walking on the side of the road. Most of the policemen and the Border Patrol just simply backed up from the wall, but one agent, Lonnie Schwartz, came onto the scene and started firing through the fence. And it's a really dark area. There's not really any way you could see who was there. It's a major thoroughfare. There's a lot of businesses there. And so he was the only one that responded with fire.
And what disciplinary action, if any, was taken against Lonnie Schwartz of the Border Patrol?
The Obama administration brought up second-degree murder charges on him, and he beat manslaughter charges and second-degree murder. He beat that just this last year. So nothing, he's free. He has a desk job. I believe he has a desk job with the Border Patrol still. There is a civil suit pending, which they're still deciding. The Supreme Court, this fall, the Supreme Court's going to hear a similar case to decide if the family can sue against the Border Patrol, which will directly affect this case.
So let me understand, was Jose Antonio Rodriguez involved with moving drugs across the border?
The defense attorney would like to think that. He painted a picture of Jose as a member of a cartel.
Sounds like the prosecuting attorney.
The prosecuting attorney. No, actually it was the defense. It was the defense for the agent. Yeah.
Oh, for the agent. Okay.
So he painted a picture of a cartel ridden war zone on the border, which just simply isn't true. And Jose was kind of a mama's boy. He was a family kid. He wanted to join the military. He actually, according to his family, he was very concerned with the cartel activity in Mexico and wanted to join the military to combat it. And he was set to go back to school within a couple weeks after he was shot. So in my opinion, it's a false narrative. It's a false narrative. And there's a video of the incident which went missing or was destroyed. There's a lot of discrepancies within the case.
So if that were the only case, your work might have stopped there, but there are others as well that go into the making of 34 Seconds, aren't there?
There are. There was a similar case in Ciudad Juarez, El Paso, where a kid was shot by Border Patrol. And this case is even a little more cut and dry. The kids were playing a game where they dared one another to touch the border wall. and essentially a Border Patrol agent came on the scene, tried to apprehend one of the kids, and then started firing into Mexico and shot Sergio. And it was during the day. There were witnesses. There was closed-circuit TV. There's cell phone footage. There's even the Union Pacific Railroad video of it. And that agent was not brought up on charges. And there is a, but that is the, Sergio's case is the civil suit that's pending in front of the Supreme Court this fall. So the outcome of that is pretty detrimental to a lot of these cases.
So, all right. So Sergio Hernandez in June of 2010, Jose Antonio Rodriguez in October of 2012. What does the title of 34 Seconds refer to?
Well, the title refers, it took the agent 34 seconds to shoot Jose, and he shot 16 shots into Mexico. 10 of them hit Jose in the back. So he took his sweet time. He actually reloaded. So the prosecution mentioned that he reloaded, which it was very slow. It was almost like it was driven by anger instead of fear. And the other agents involved in the case, none of them feared for their life. And they said that on the stand.
Adam Markle is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Lived in Ashland for a time, attended the University of Oregon, is now in the film business in the L.A. area. And he and Jessica Solis, a bilingual journalist and activist from Mexico City, have teamed up to make the film 34 Seconds about shootings at the border. Join the conversation on the Exchange. You may have strong feelings about this one way or the other. We'd like to hear your respectful thoughts on this at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So 34 seconds from engagement to firing the weapon, and there's the 34 seconds of the title again. What rules of engagement exist at the border that dictate when shots can be fired, either at all or to the other side, to the other country?
Well, that's a great question. Cross-border shootings are quite rare, and I think we know what would happen if someone from Mexico shot into America. The rules of engagement, specifically with rocking, is you're not supposed to engage, from my understanding.
So when they throw rocks, don't shoot back.
Exactly. I mean, it's a gray area, though, because I think it's up to the discretion of the agent. It depends what the situation is. But, you know, the problem is they work in remote areas, typically without partners, and there's no oversight or supervision. And so the problem is it's hard to know what the official case is. And I don't dispute that the Border Patrol has a really hard job, and it can be dangerous because Border Patrol agents have been shot before. It doesn't happen a whole lot, but it has happened. So I understand there's a split-minute decision, but rocks don't justify bullets, in my opinion.
So let's talk a little more about your co-creator on 34 Seconds, Jessica Solis. She's bilingual, journalist, activist from Mexico City, also a UCLA graduate. How have you divided up the duties here? Has she done a lot of the digging and you figured out how to portray it on screen?
Yeah, we're a team. We met 5 years ago, and we just started going down there and investigating and pretty much digging it up. We did a lot of research online, but we did a lot of digging just in the community. And we're kind of a dream team, and it's been a great experience so far. I do most of the camera stuff and the audio, and she does a lot of the groundwork on the ground, talking with people. I speak Spanish, but I'm not fluent, and it helps to... She does a lot of, you know, the relationship stuff on the ground.
So what sorts of things, now granted these are not super recent cases, I mean, Sergio Hernandez it's been more than 9 years now. What kinds of things are you finding out that perhaps have not been brought to light so far, Adam?
Well, we also talk about some current cases. One thing, we talk about the Patricia Claudia Gomez case in Rio Bravo, Texas, and mm-hmm. She was shot last summer in... she was shot in Texas, and she was from Guatemala.
It was in May of 2018, I see. Yeah,
May of 2018. And that story essentially wraps everything up and circles back, because she was from a small village in the western highlands of Guatemala. Her village is pretty drought-stricken. Guatemala is experiencing some of the most severe weather in recent years, so a lot of those people are migrating to the U.S. So her story really rounds it out and brings it to current times, and then it also ties into some of the other, a lot of the families coming over right now. These family units are all from Guatemala as well.
Yeah, we've actually talked not very long ago to a professor at your alma mater, the University of Oregon, Lynn Stephen, who investigated both in Guatemala and in San Diego, people at both ends of the journey to our border. I don't suppose you've crossed paths with her.
I haven't, but I would love to. I'll probably reach out to her, though.
Yeah, she's got a lot of information that might help what you're doing, but to help understand. But she made it very clear that, any danger that migrants perceive that they will face on their journey still seems like less of an issue than the violence they would face if they just stayed back home. I mean, is that essentially what you've been finding out?
Exactly true. We found that migrants from Honduras and El Salvador, it was more violence-related. And then Guatemala, it was more environmental-related. Although, I mean, Guatemala does have its fair share of violence. But a lot of families feel that risking their lives on the journey is better than staying at home. And some have no choice. I think a lot of people don't understand that that's their last resort.
Well, when you take on a story like this, Adam, you and Jessica together, I mean, you open yourself up to the usual responses like, you know, it's the duty of this country to protect its borders. And how do you see those kinds of arguments? How do you get back at the people who want to get back at you?
I agree with people that we do have to have borders. We do have to have a sense of border security. But I think one thing that people don't understand is a lot of people are leaving these countries because of U.S. policies. The United States government helped wage all kinds of dirty wars and civil wars from the 50s all the way up to the 90s in Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Guatemala. All of that has lasting effects. So I feel like people don't understand that our own government has something to do with these people coming over. I think if instead of investing in $10 billion more for a wall, if we invested in some of these countries, I think that would actually curb immigration a lot more than just simply militarization.
You have any particular ideas for how you would like to see money spent in the countries that are sources for the people coming to our border?
One issue is that companies like Monsanto and stuff have Monsanto went to Mexico, I think, mid-90s, and just their genetically modified seed put about 2 million farmers out of work, which all led them to come north to America. So I think one thing would help if we invested in farming, agrarian livelihoods. That would help.
We're talking with Adam Markle here on the Jefferson Exchange. He and Jessica Solis are partners on a documentary film that they're crowdfunding. It is called 34 Seconds. It is about shootings of people attempting to cross into the United States at the border, not always even attempting to cross for that matter. 34 Seconds, referring to the amount of time it took between engagement with Jose Antonio Rodriguez in 2012 and the time that a Border Patrol agent opened fire on him. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Thoughts about the general morass of issues we face about the southern border and how we handle those. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to add a little more detail to the story of Claudia Patricia Gomez Gonzalez, because here again, somebody who came from Guatemala had traveled about 1,500 miles just to get to the southern border. Her shooting was in the middle of last year. Tell us about what happened and the response from Customs and Border Patrol when questions were raised.
Well, Patricia was shot, and while she was being shot, neighbors in the Texas town came outside and started recording the shooting. I don't know if it was Facebook Live or just a video. It's been watched like 10 million times. And the neighbors started yelling at the Border Patrol asking why they shot the young girl. And subsequently, the Border Patrol had various responses. At first, they said the group that Claudia was with attacked them with 2x4s or boards, essentially pieces of plywood. But all the neighbors in the town said they did not see plywood. About a day later, the Border Patrol said, well, they were attacked with blunt objects. The group in the neighborhood again said they didn't see any blunt objects. And then a third press conference, the Border Patrol didn't talk about any blunt objects or plywood or any of that.
And so what do you make of that? How do you portray something like that on the film? Do you have footage from all three of the news conferences, for example?
Yeah, we have a little bit of footage from the news conferences, and we're actually going to go. We're going to go down to Rio Bravo, Texas, and hopefully talk with some of the neighbors and talk about the area. And then it is our plan to go to Guatemala and hopefully talk with Patricia's family. It's one of the shoots we want to still do because, especially, we want to go there because her family and their circumstances tie into the general story of a lot of these migrant families coming to America. Claudia felt like this was literally a last resort for her. She was a student. She was coming. She wanted to be an accountant in America. She was really good with numbers. She really was, literally, the family was sitting around in Guatemala without work. So they felt they did not have another option.
So in addition to the shootings, there's a reference, I believe, in your GoFundMe video about looking also at children who died in detention. Is that part of the focus of 34 Seconds?
It is. Those kids were also from Guatemala, and we talk about that, and we just have a lot of questions because CBP and the Border Patrol have a budget that's about 17 times the amount that it was in 1990, and there's much less people crossing now. So they've had plenty of time to deal with this stuff, and understandably, there is a lot of people coming right now. But to me, there's no excuse for. I think we might be up to 7 children now that have died in CBP detention in the last year and a half or so.
It seems like everybody who discusses pretty much anything involving the border comes in with their own particular viewpoint. And I can imagine, though, that spending time in the border region would open your eyes either to confirm what you already thought or perhaps to change your opinion. What has that journey been like for you, Adam?
The journey's been pretty amazing, and we've spoke with people on both sides of the border and in both sides of the political spectrum, too. I did some interviews with some ranchers, some conservative-leaning ranchers that live on the border wall, and they have legit concerns. It used to be, they explained that back in the old days, it used to be mostly just people looking for work, and then in the mid-2000s, there was a narco element, which was scary for them. So I did respect that. It's not something I knew about. I think the thing with the borders, it used to be really porous, especially in Nogales and Ciudad Juarez, El Paso. It used to be one town, and then a wall was built. But even for a time, once the wall was built, it was still one town where a lot of people live in Ciudad Juarez but live in El Paso or vice versa. So I think the whole dynamic of the militarization of the border has changed those regions.
That is the kind of thing we talked about with Lynn Steven at the University of Oregon, about the fact that there are people who lived essentially on both sides of the border and not at the same time, but, you know, they'd spend part of the year here and part of the year there.
Yeah, and for those people, especially just working class people working, or not just working class, just everybody, they deserve better than sitting 10 hours in traffic to get through the crossing and then being questioned a million times about their citizenship.
So you and Jessica report in the video that accompanies your GoFundMe site that the principal photography is done, but it sounds like you've got more stuff left to shoot.
Yeah, the principal photography is mostly done. I'd say about 95%. But we do have a couple pickup shoots. The Patricia Gomez shoot in Guatemala just popped up, and that's something we think is really important. And one thing with this film is it's constantly changing. Something happens with the administration, a new case pops up. So we are allowing a little bit of space for us to do a few more shoots.
That must be the trickiest part, though, is that you're trying to figure out where things are going to go. There could be another incident while you're in the process of shooting. And I don't know if you even started this before the Claudia Patricia Gomez Gonzalez case, but this is the kind of thing that can happen as you're moving along through a story of this magnitude.
Exactly. And I think one of the disciplines of filmmaking is at some point you just have to put the camera down because you can keep shooting for years. So we're pretty much there. We just want to add a couple things we think are important. And then, yeah.
So we've been reading stories in the news recently about the very low morale at the Border Patrol, and I wonder what kind of thoughts that engenders in you working on the project you're working on with 34 Seconds.
I think it's really interesting because post 9/11, they had Bush administration had a massive hiring surge with the Border Patrol. It actually led to a lot of problems. But I did read a New York Times piece about they're having a big-time problem hiring people, and there is a low morale. I think there was a quote in there, something that the general public actively hates us, which this, I'm sure there's some, I'll be honest, all the Border Patrol agents I've met have been wonderful people, but I know there's good agents, but obviously there is a problem that does come from the top down with the Border Patrol, and I think it's a good thing. It's probably time they restructure their entire training process, because the reports are not good, the outcomes are not good, none of these cases aren't good. It's a problem.
All right, yeah, cases we're talking about with people shot at the border. That is the stuff at the heart of the film 34 Seconds, being put together by Adam Markle and Jessica Solis. I noticed that in your crowdfunding effort, you're getting pretty close to a goal of $60,000.
We are. We're about 75% funded, which we're very happy. We have 9 days to go, so we're excited about that.
All right, and then what are your plans for where the film will screen when it's finished?
Well, I think we're going to go the festival route and hopefully screen in Ashland, down at these border communities. We'll do a screening in Los Angeles. And the money is all mostly going to the editing process, the post-production process, which is kind of the daunting, expensive process where you lay everything out, color grade it, compose, put music to it.
All right, a lot of work still to come for this. So we'll check in down the road, we hope, and find out what's up with the project. 34 Seconds is the name of the documentary film being put together by Adam Markle, who lived in Ashland for a time, graduated from the University of Oregon, and his partner Jessica Solis, journalist, activist, graduate of UCLA. Thank you for joining us, Adam Markle.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, take it easy. Best of luck.